Minnesota Reads this morning here on Northwood Morning, and I'm smiling and chuckling already. Our guest this morning is Eric Dragney. He's the author of a book called You're Sending Me Where? Dispatches from Summer Camp. Eric, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's a treat.
Eric, please start off by telling a story from your book of stories about your first day of camp. It begins the book, and it just sets everything up, in essence, that follows from there. Tell us the story.
My mom was a camp counselor, and so she insisted that her son, me, that I was going to go to camp. At 6 years old, she prepped me. She got me all set to go, and then we went out to the bus stop where the bus was going to pick me up to bring me to the Camp Christmas Tree. Sounds kind of idyllic, right? And the bus comes, and I realize, wait a minute, she's shipping me off, and I wanted nothing to do with that. And so I put my arms out, and she essentially, I mean, she's a very gentle mom, but she pushed me onto that bus, and the bus driver quickly shut the door and zoomed off, and I screamed and hollered the whole way there. It's like, why am I being sent away? What did I do? What did I do to deserve this? But slowly during the day, I realized they're letting us shoot bow and arrows and BB guns. They let us shoot BB guns at 6 years old. We climbed up these giant trees that I don't even know they let kids do that anymore either.
Well, we grew up at this magical time, Eric, where we had, you know, concrete was what was under the swing set. So
yeah.
Maybe it explains more than it should.
I know so many things that I look back on, like, wow, we did that. And now, because now I'm a director of the Italian camp, the Italian Concordia Language Village, and so many of those things that I did as a kid, there's no way we could do those now.
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, this was before people began suing and that sort of thing. And it was, you fell off the swings and that's the way it goes. But there you were as a kid. And I love your description of, arms and legs braced against the frame of the bus. And you just have this sort of cartoony moment, as your mother's trying to push you into the bus, and you realize that the worst day of your life turned into the best day of your life, and somehow that sort of set the stage for whatever. Still, when you were approached and at the University of Minnesota and they said, hey, we want you to direct a language camp in northern Minnesota, you went, huh? Tell us about that.
Yeah,
a little bit.
I know. I thought, well, that's flattering, but why me? See, actually, my last name is Dragney, which is a Norwegian name, but everyone thinks because it ends in a vowel is Italian. So, I speak Italian because I lived over there. So they thought, oh, well, he'll be great to do this because I'm Italian, which I'm not. But I tried to quit, actually, two times. Well, see, I agreed to do it. I thought, oh, I don't have anything else going on. And then I realized how much work it actually is and how much responsibility with all these little kids. And so I tried to quit two times before I even started. And they were like, no, we'll make it work out. And so here I am 10 years later. I've done it. It's great. I mean, it is a crazy experience at camp, but it's so much fun.
So did you have that moment where suddenly they said, okay, you're the director of the language camp, and you were like, no, this is the worst day of my life. And then you ran the camp, and it turned into, like, the best day of your life?
Yeah, so because I get all these little kids, so they experience exactly what I experienced then. So the parents bring them there to camp, and then they realize, okay, not only is it sleepaway camp, but also that their parents are going to be leaving them, and they have to speak Italian this whole time, too.
So it's we'll back up a step. In case you haven't been to a language camp, as I haven't, but the idea is it's an immersion camp, and it's for... The idea is that kids in particular learn a language better by just kind of being immersed in the language. Now, do you try to recreate aspects of Italian culture along with it, or is it pretty much geared toward just the language?
No, the language is just sort of there. It's just everything's in Italian. And so we actually have about 5 or 6 native Italians come over in the summer. They do the visas and they do everything. And the first thing they see, they come into Bemidji, Minnesota, and they're like, oh, we're in America. This is America. I'm like, well, yeah, America's a big place. There's also New York and California. And they see Paul Bunyan and Babe the Blue Ox and think, this is it. This is what you worship here. So it's pretty fun.
This is not just their first impression of Minnesota, but this becomes their first impression of America.
yeah, that this is the North Woods of Minnesota. That's essential United States. It's like, well, yeah, I mean, for us it is, but, yeah, so the kids come, and so we do, but Italians then always insist, like, it's got to be authentic Italian. We can't have all this American stuff, and but, I mean, we still do, like, s'mores and things like that, but, yeah, it's a, like, we set it up as a little village, and we have stores in Italian with Italian products, and all our food is Italian, all of everything. It's all, yeah, it's fun, because I learn so much each year, too, from these Italians that come over.
Well, I am imagining that it doesn't take a lot of convincing in Italian that s'mores are an important part of the experience.
Yeah. And then going to Dairy Queen and having the big, you know, peanut butter parfait.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, it's like they're saying, okay, well, we'll make an exception. So I'm thinking about these campers. I'm thinking about the counselors who are native Italians again, and they're in an unfamiliar environment, an unfamiliar culture. I'm thinking about the kids, and I love this line that you wrote. The kids want to tame nature, but mostly they want the wilderness to leave them alone. And I'm thinking about you in the middle of all this and you trying to make this whole thing work. And you share so many stories about this in your book. How do you think it does happen? I mean, is it clever machinations on your part, or is it some sort of a magical kismet that makes it work year after year?
It's each year we come up with their new surprises. There's always something that happens each year. And we're like, okay, how are we going to deal with this issue? And with, you know, what's interesting is it's really a cultural exchange, because these Italians that come over, they, you know, want to bring their culture and stuff, but then they're in the North Woods of Minnesota. So we, the native Minnesotans and the kids, we teach them, too, about things that happen here. So, like, for example, they're all worried about the wolves and the bears and the cougars and lynx and who knows what. And we tell them, well, really what you have to worry about are the ticks, the mosquitoes, and poison ivy. And they've never heard of poison ivy. They don't have it over there. And I show them, okay, you know, leaves of three, let it be. And they're like, you're telling me that if I touch this, that I will, you know, probably end up in the hospital. I'm like, yeah, if you touch, I mean, enough of it. And so they're like reaching down, trying to like rub it on their skin to prove me wrong. And I'm like pulling them away. I'm like, don't even, why are you doing this? Like this, you know, they think it's some sort of witchcraft or something that I'm talking about.
Or maybe it's the, oh, sure, you know, we'll get the gullible Italians, you know, and we'll tell them that there's a plant on the ground that's poisonous. And
Yeah, that could be too. Because, you know, there's all the pranks, of course, at camp, you know, and so that could be part of it too.
So tell us briefly, you know, in case there are folks that are getting ready to go to summer camp or are contemplating sending their children to summer camp, tell us, before we let you go, your best camp meal and your best camp prank.
Okay, the best camp meal. Well, see, at the Italian camp, it's all Italian food. And so we actually built this outdoor pizza oven. So it's wood brick pizza oven. These guys came up, these Italians who live in southern Minnesota, and built this whole oven over the summer. Sort of like they do up in Grand Marais. They're building all those pizza ovens up there. One of those, but a big one. So that's our best meal. It's like fresh pizza made outdoors in this outdoor wood pizza oven. The best pranks, let's see. I don't know. There's so many pranks. Like we have just the pranks kind of build by the end of the day, by the end of the sessions. And then probably the best ones are these kids that would go back and forth and do pranks on each other. Like would take all their shoes and then throw them on the roof. And then they would take the other cabin would take their mattresses and throw them on the roof and all of this. And I just found out last summer that these campers, what they would do is the boy campers on the girl cabin, they would always leave a pair there in their cabin when they knew that when they did a prank, right? And so then the girl's like, oh, what's their prank? What's their prank? And so they would always have these elaborate pranks they would do. And then the best prank, though, was they just left a pair and did no prank at all. And so then the girl freaked out. They're like, what is the prank? What is the prank? And they spent days just all nervous, and nothing actually was done. They just left a pair.
So psychological warfare is
exactly
is part of the whole pranking thing. And what a, wow. So I trust that folks are taking good notes. And of course, if you want to get even better notes and, you know, kind of a handbook to a variety of these topics, you're sending me where? Dispatches from Summer Camp, the author Eric Dragne. Eric, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Yeah,
it was great to talk with you. Eric Dragne, our guest on Minnesota Reads here on 103.3 KUMD. Minnesota Reads is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.